Last week, Danny and I sat down to go over the service and make sure everything was in order. And while we were doing that, the question came up, what is the name of the sermon? And so if you look here, you'll see sermon. And that comes because while we're having a discussion, well, I said, well, the sermon's Psalm 146. And he's like, no, but what's it about? And I said, well, it's about this, and it's about this. And then we never really resolved it. And then I went away this past week on vacation, and I got an email, and I sent it back and said, well, you know, it's just kind of about 146. So eventually, I think Danny just gave up. And so it just says sermon. Psalm 146 is, it's poetry. And I'm gonna first read it, and then we'll talk about it. Psalm 146, praise for God's help. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Growing up, I was an avid reader, and I continue to be so today. I was not, however, a big fan of poetry. I appreciated the poems that we were required to read in school, and I even enjoyed like writing them. But to sit down and just read poetry was not something that I would do regularly. And I think the reason is because poetry forces us to slow down. We need to take time to analyze what's in what is being said. In our fast-paced world, we don't like to slow down. We like to do things now, or better yet, yesterday. Last week, as I was in the service and sitting in the pew, I went through the bulletin, and as I was reading it there, I noticed that there was a summer adult Bible study that was being done on prayer, Too Busy Not to Pray, by Bill Hybels. And I thought, well, that's perfect. That ties exactly into what I'll be preaching about next week. So in the middle of my sermon that I'm having right now, I'm going to make a public service announcement and invite you to attend next week. And this will be going on, led by Beth Spalty. It will be going on through Labor Day. So you're invited to, if you want to slow down and take time to do that, please do so. Slowing down is an important thing to do in life. It is in our world, we are constantly on the go. Everything is do it now, at our fingertips. It used to be, if you wanted to look something up, you would go to the encyclopedia. Now, I think there's, if anybody's under 30, I'm guessing they don't know the pleasure of having a encyclopedia salesman come to their house and try to sell them a rack of books that will take up space and thousands of pages. No, today we take out our iPhones and we plug it in and we can Google whatever we need to know. If we want to go someplace, years ago, it would take weeks to travel 100 miles. We get in our car. We want to go further, we take a plane. Things are fast, so we need to slow down and analyze. And poetry, such as Psalm 146, forces us to do that. The psalm starts out with, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long." It sounds wonderful, but I got to thinking, but why? Why should we praise the Lord? One of the beauties of the Psalms is that being poetry, they make us think and ask questions about what we are reading in order for us to divine deeper meaning. Psalm 146 goes on to explain why we should praise God. In the next two verses, it tells us, "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to earth. On that very day, their plans perish." Our question has been partly answered. Why should we praise the Lord? We should praise God because God can do the things that we mortals cannot do. God can do things that even princes or kings cannot. In addition, we are being cautioned to be careful to not put too much faith in our mortal leaders and remember it is God who will be with us long after our mortal leaders are gone. This is why we should praise God. The next verses I found especially beautiful. "Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin." When the psalm speaks of setting the prisoners free and opening the eyes of the blind, I take this as more than simply the physical act of releasing prisoners and having the blind see. The real prisoners are those that are trapped in lives that don't see God in others and in their own lives. We are all prisoners at one time or another in our own lives. We can be imprisoned by greed, by envy, by fear, by feelings of insecurity, and by doubt. What are you imprisoned by? More importantly, how do we become free of our imprisonment? Those things that we are imprisoned by can only lose their grasp on us when we take them to God in prayer. God is the only one that can set us free. The same thing goes for those things that blind us to the love of God. These are the same things that imprison us. When we are wrapped up in our imprisoned lives, we are blinded from seeing God's love for us. In order to lose our blindness, we have to let go of those things that are holding us back from God's love. We can also be blind to the suffering of others. We may not see others suffering because we're too caught up in our own struggles. We also prefer to simply refuse to see those around us who are suffering. Maybe, though, it's okay to ignore those who suffer. Psalm 146 tells us that it is God who executes justice for the oppressed. It is God who gives food to the hungry and lifts up those who are bowed down. It is God who loves the righteous, watches over the strangers, and upholds the orphan and the widow. If God is doing all these things, we're off the hook, aren't we? God's got it covered. We're off the hook until we ask ourselves, how is God going to do these things? This reminds me of a West Wing episode that I watched a number of years ago, and it was in its first season. Jeb Bartlett, the President of the United States, is struggling with a very deep and profound question. He has a prisoner that is on death row, and he has the power to set him free and to pardon him. And he doesn't know what to do. So in this episode, he goes on to seek out the counsel of those around him. And during this time, he talks to his press secretary, and the press secretary then goes, who's Jewish, goes to synagogue. And during synagogue, the rabbi gets up and speaks against capital punishment. And the press secretary then comes back to the president and lets him know this. Later on, the president is talking, and he's still struggling with this. And in the meantime, he's also called his parish priest back home in New Hampshire. And the priest says, I understand you're having difficulty with this. I'll be there as soon as I can, but I have some things to do. So this is the beginning of the day. So all this day happens. So first he hears, or actually it's the weekend. So first he hears from the rabbi. And then he's talking to one of the lobbyists. And he says, you're a Quaker. What do Quakers believe? And she simply looks at him and says, well, pardon him. You know, it's the right thing to do. He's like, oh, okay, all right. And then he still struggles with this because he's just not sure what to do. So eventually, the time is midnight. And it's approaching that hour. And about 5 to 10 before midnight, the priest comes in. And he sits down with them, and they pray. And the president looks at his priest, and he says, you know, I got to say, I'm a little ticked off with God. You know, I really asked for a sign, and I got nothing all day. I mean, I looked for a sign from God for what to do with this, and now it's time, and I just don't know what to do. And the priest looks at him, and he goes, let me tell you a story. And the priest said, there was once a guy who lived below a dam. And while he was living there, he was a very faithful man and believed in God. And one day, there was a radio announcement. The radio announcement came on and said, there is imminent danger for those who are living below the dam. And you really need to leave now. And the guy said, well, that's a radio announcement. God will take care of me. I'm good, you know. And so naturally, the dam broke. And the floodwaters came, and the guy came by in a rowboat. And he called out, and he said, here, I'm here to help you. I'm here, would you like me to come help you and take you to safety? He goes, no. God's going to take care of me. And finally, the floodwaters rose, and he got up on his roof, and a helicopter came overhead. And they called down to him, would you like us to drop your line and take you to safety? He goes, no, God's got this. Subsequently, the man drowned. And he goes up to heaven, and he says, I want an audience with God. And he's like, now. And he goes up before God, and God looks at him and says, what are you doing here? He goes, I sent you a radio announcement. I sent you a rowboat and a helicopter. You're not supposed to be here. So the point is, we're the people. We're the people that need to be the radio announcement. We need to make the announcement about God. We need the ones that tell God about God's love. Others around us. I sometimes find people I encounter who say, well, I'm spiritual. You know, I don't really need to go to church. And I take issue with that because there's so much that happens in a church service and the community of this. The support, the time of joys and concerns, which I consider to maybe be one of, if not the most important time in the whole service. The time of listening to music and reflecting, to taking time to slow things down. We need to tell people about that. We need to be the radio announcement. We also need to be the people getting in the rowboat. We need to reach out to others. And the beauty is that our church already provides the rowboats. And we provide the helicopters. There are opportunities throughout our church to help in many, many ways, whether it's with the service and all the aspects that go into it, whether it's with helping out with the choir, with the Christian education, or whether it's with missions, the many missions that we do. We have opportunities here to get in the rowboat. We have opportunities to be in the helicopter helping other people. Hence, God is telling us in Psalm 146 that we need to slow down. And it follows two of my favorite quotes. The first one is, don't do something, sit there. And its corollary, from which is derived, don't just sit there, do something. This means that we need to slow down. We need to pause and reflect before we act. Once we have meditated on what we should do, then and only then should we act. Our meditation will bring us insight as the right path to follow. When we slow down and don't do anything but sit there and contemplate that which God would have us do, God will show us the way and what God's plan is. Once we know God's plan, then and only then can we live the life that God would have for us. Let us pray. Lord, help us be your instruments of love in this world. Help us be the radio announcement that tells people about you and your son Jesus' message of hope and love. Help us to get into the rowboat and reach out to others. Help us to be in the helicopter that brings sustenance of both physical and spiritual food and water to those who need it. In thy name we pray. Amen.